All right, so as Emily mentioned, we're going to start a new sermon series today, and we're going to focus on the book of Ephesians, and we're actually going to go through the book of Ephesians in its entirety, starting at verse 1 through the end of chapter 6, and we're going to do this and split it up into, I think, 13 different sections. And then I'm going to split those 13 different sections into two time periods. So we're going to do seven one time, seven in the fall here, and six more in, I'll call it the winter. We begin 2019, we're going to look at the rest of the chapters there. And so we're actually going to start this book, though it would seem logical to start an Ephesians series in Ephesians. We're not going to actually start an Ephesians series in Ephesians. We're going to start in the book of Genesis, right? And I'm hoping that us starting in the book of Genesis will help us think through, maybe create a framework for how we're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians in light of some work by a man named Watchman Nee. He wrote a really short book. I was going to bring it. It's 60 pages, but the book's only like this big. So it's quite small. It could be read maybe in an afternoon if you really wanted to. And he sets out this framework in Ephesians, sit, walk, and stand. And so there's going to be quite a few sermons on the sit aspect, where we sit in what Christ has done for us, and then we'll do some sermons on the walk, walking in the ways that God has shown us, kind of like the task that God has given us, and then we will stand. And I think this framework can be found somewhat as well in Genesis. So we're looking there to see why. Really, to answer the question, why are we studying Ephesians? So we're going to go to page 1. Did everyone find that? Page 1, Genesis 26 to 31, we'll find there. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over the livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made and said, "It was very good." And there was an evening and there was a morning, the sixth day. I'd like for you to envision a story with me, to think about. It's actually a story that became a movie by some guy named Nicholas Sparks. Maybe you've heard of this individual before. The story follows a young couple as they fall in love. And then they end up spending 60 years together. We have some people here in our church that have spent 60 years together with their spouse. And that's a beautiful thing. But towards the end of Allie's life, she started developing Alzheimer's. And she wasn't really able to remember anymore. She wasn't able to remember Noah and all the experiences that they had in their marriage. She maybe even then, lost a part of being able to remember who she was. And so Noah would bring a notebook with him. It's the name of the movie, The Notebook. And he would bring a notebook, and he would sit down next to Allie, and he would read the words that were in these stories for just the hope that for a few minutes or a few moments, Allie would remember who she was. And remember, in turn, who Noah was, the husband that had loved her for 60 years. He would hope that she would remember her identity. Now, I gather that this movie can be and can seem a little bit sappy, but I think it shows one thing, the extent of someone who loves another to help remember their identity, to help remember who they are. And I often think it's easy to forget who we are. As I go meet people, I've met with quite a few people. I warned Neil about 10 minutes ago that I was going to mention his name. I met Neil, and I went over to Neil and Ethel's house a couple weeks ago. And part of who Neil is, he wanted to show me part of it. So he said, "Steve, come over here to this room." And so I walked down the hall and into the room. And then he pointed out, I think it's 5 pictures on the wall. Is that right? 5? 8. 8 pictures. I was wrong. Multiple pictures of planes. And it was the planes that Neil has flown, and actually helicopters as well. And he pointed out kind of each one and said what they were, which apparently I did a bad job remembering how many it was. But he did that, and that was part of who Neil was. I went over to the Deemer's house the other day, and I learned part of who they are is pilots as well. And they showed me pictures of them in front of planes and that they had flown planes before. But that's only part of who they are. Oftentimes when we introduce ourselves, I think we find that our identity is so entangled with what we do that we almost think of ourselves as a human doing instead of a human being. And so I think God wants to show us who we are as beings, not just doings. So in the created order that's set before us in Genesis, God shows us something about ourselves. And I hope that what he shows us here in Genesis, we can translate and bring over to Ephesians. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start with verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Comma. We're just going to stop right there. God made us mankind in our image and in our likeness. In essence, God gave us a dignity. Believers in Christ can look all over the place in different things that we've done or that we're planning on doing or have done, but there's only one place that God says here in Genesis that we really truly find who we are. We don't need to look at the things that we do, we just look at how we were created. The work doesn't define us. Instead, humanity, Adam and Eve, they started life with a gift. They started life with a gift that God gave them, which was his image. It was nothing that they needed to do to earn that image. It was just given to them. And it's given to each one of you. We're going to do something a little bit different. Look at one of your neighbors and say, "You didn't earn it." look at a neighbor and say, you didn't earn it. You didn't earn the image. God just gave you the image as a gift. You didn't have to do anything for it because he freely gave it to you. At the very core of each of our beings, of each of our person, is this image of God. And the thing about this image is we all don't look the same. So the beautiful thing about creation is that God created an immense tapestry of different people with different abilities, different gifts, and different looks. And they all reflect his image in a new, in a different way. We see in this passage also that we are given some dominion. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. In verse 27, God actually says again, hey, I'm going to, he actually, let me repeat. In verse 26, God says, let us do this. We're going to do this. Verse 27, God actually makes humanity in his image. And verse 28, he repeats this dominion. And he adds something different. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, to be able to be created in God's image and to be able to have dominion over something, God needed to give us something. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it this way. He says, in order to create people in his image, they needed to be created in a way to have freedom, just like God. God himself has freedom to create, we see. God himself has freedom to think and to act and to do. And therefore, being created in his image meant that we were going to have dominion to think and to act and to do. Being made in his image meant that we needed to have those types of characteristics. And the purpose of the dominion that God gave us and the ability to think and act and do was to give us a task that was mutually beneficial. It was something that benefited the humans, but it was also something that benefited the plants and the animals and the birds and all those creatures that were along the ground. It was something that was going to be fulfilling for them. But unfortunately, it didn't stay that way. Because there was a disturbance. We didn't read about this disturbance in our passage today, but it comes a little bit later in Genesis 2. The serpent came to question Eve, and Eve and Adam, who was there with her, they were unable to sustain the attack, to sustain the temptation that Satan had against them. For some reason, the combination of the dominion and freedom laid the possibility for this disturbance. And I think this disturbance did something to that dignity, and it did something to that dominion. It caused that dominion to be the focus of life rather than the dignity that was given to us by God. It caused us to focus on the work that we do maybe a little bit more than focusing on who we've been created in Christ. Maybe we focused a little bit too much on the human doing instead of the human being. So God needed to remind his people, just like Noah was reminding Ali of who she was. God needed to remind his people who they really were. And so we're going to use the framework of Ephesians developed by Watchman Nee. And he says this, Christianity does not begin with a big do, but instead it begins with a big done. And the way he separates out Ephesians, I think, correlates a little bit to what we saw in Genesis. And he begins with this word, sit. Sit. When God created people in Genesis 1, he said, let us make mankind in his image and in his likeness. There wasn't anything that we did to earn that. And likewise, now we are to sit in something else that we didn't earn. We read it in Ephesians 2, 6 through 10. And God raised us up. That's past tense. He has already raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. God has another gift for each and every one of us here. The first gift he gave us was his image, that we display him in some way. But the next gift is salvation. A salvation where God did all the work and said that we weren't going to do it so that no one could boast in what they have done. And that's what we sit in. We sit in the reality and the understanding that we are saved by Christ through faith. And when we sit, we can rest comfortably knowing that Jesus Christ has done the work for us. That the things that we do don't add on to anything in our salvation. We are a human being, not a human doing. Look at your neighbor again and say, you didn't earn it. You didn't earn your salvation. The work that we do, it's not a striving work or an arduous work. The work we do isn't something that we need to fear that maybe we haven't done enough. The work that we do is what the next word means. The work that we do is part of our walking. After we sit in that new identity, that understanding that we have been created in the image of God and that Christ has done all the work necessary for our salvation, then we're told to do something else here in Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul speaking, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have been called. Here in Ephesians, I think God is laying down a corrective for something that happened back in Genesis 2 where we emphasized our work. It's not an emphasis on our work, but instead it's a recognition of what God has done in our lives. We were first called. We were called by Him to follow Him. Called by Him, recognizing what He has done and that we would live in that way. the task that we're given, just like Adam and Eve were given the task of dominion over the world and being fruitful and multiplying, is the task of walking in our faith. It's only when we first sit in Christ that we're able to do that well. And it may seem a little bit backwards, but the next thing that we're going to go to, we first sit in our understanding of where Christ has done all the work, and then we start walking. But the final element, I think, is very key. And unfortunately, I think you have to wait till February 17 to hear a sermon on it. So mark that down in your calendars. The last sermon in this series is February 17. And it's standing. In Genesis 2, when Eve was confronted by the serpent, and Adam was standing next to her, we saw that they couldn't stand. They couldn't stand up to what the devil had offered through the serpent, and they took and they ate. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it shows us something a little bit different that happens. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There's a song that I think we sing here, In Christ Alone. No power of hell, no scheme of man will ever pluck me from his hand. It's through Christ's work and our walking in his ways and the empowerment of the Spirit that we are able to put on the entire armor of God, and we can stand, unlike what Adam and Eve were able to do, we could stand up to what the devil has in front of us. We can stand up to the temptation that God has in front of us. And the only way we do that is through recognizing Christ in our life. Recognizing the work that he has done and how he causes us to be seated with him. And how he causes us to walk in his ways through the Spirit. And how he causes us to be able to stand against the devil. The entire focus of our sermon series on Ephesians is going to be what Christ has done. And how we, instead of seeing our identity in what we do, see our identity in him. And see how we have been adopted as children of God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you laid out a plan for us. A plan for us that didn't need our own work, but a plan for us that solely lied in the work of Christ in our lives, that he would be the one to redeem us, that he would be the one to save us, that he would be the one to make us rise from the dead. And what a great hope that is, that we can have, that we have become your child, a child of the Most High God, a child who has plans for us and a way for us to live and stand up to that very thing which threatens us. We pray in Jesus' name that you will continue to sustain us in our walk, that we may be able to stand. In Jesus' name, amen.